Today is still part of the Christmas season, and in the Eastern Church, this feast, the baptism of the Lord and the manifestation from heaven by the Father saying, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased," is the primary focus of the celebration of Christmas in the East. In the West, for whatever reason, maybe genetics, but in the West, we have chosen to celebrate the birth of Christ more in a historical context. We want to know about all those events that surrounded the birth of Christ. But in the East, and it started in the East before it came to the West, the commemoration of the Lord's birth and God becoming incarnate was tied up not so much with the historic, it was understood not so much by the historical events, but rather by the theological significance of the events. The notion for us that essentially Christmas is an epiphany. It is the manifestation of God's love for us. And in this second reading, in the letter of Paul to Titus, Paul says, "The grace of God has appeared, saving all and training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires, and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age, as we await the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to deliver us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people as his own, eager to do what is good." What is interesting about that reading is that that reading from Titus is the second reading at the midnight mass or the mass in the night for us in the West as we celebrate December the 25th as the birth of Christ. In the gospel today, the baptism by John is not so important. We hear John saying to the people, "I am baptizing you with water. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." There is no conversation between John and Jesus, as there is in other gospel presentations. And we are simply told, after all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized, a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. It is epiphany. It is manifestation. It is the understanding that God comes to us, that we might live God's life ultimately, something that is utterly impossible. Even these little children, as sinless as they are, cannot enter into God's life with God offering the grace first to enter. So it's kind of fitting that if we kind of put in our understanding of what's going on today, the manifestation, God's grace, God's manifestation coming to us and challenging us to be changed by it. Baptism is a ritual. Certain words are said, certain questions are asked, certain answers are expected. If somebody says, do you believe in God? And the answer was, no, I don't. It kind of put the skids on the baptismal ceremony. But it is ritual, and you know what to say. And sometimes we get so used to baptizing that what it really does not seep into the sinews of our life. A couple weeks ago, a niece of mine gave birth to a baby very prematurely. The birth happened towards the beginning of November. And by Christmas Day, it was evident that things were going bad. And I went and I baptized the baby on Christmas, and by New Year's Day, it was very obvious that the baby would not make it. And we were sitting around at home at dinner, and I said to my other nieces and nephews that were there, you know, if the baby, Liam, dies, he will be a saint. And they said, what are you talking about? And I said, he will be a saint. He will be as assuredly a saint in heaven as Peter or Paul or our Blessed Mother is. He has been baptized into the dying and the rising of Jesus Christ, and the power of that dying and rising utterly, utterly, utterly transforms his relationship to the world and to God. And if he does not ever make a choice against the reign of God, he will be a saint. And one of my nephews said, you mean you can pray to him? And I said, well, yes, you can pray to him. But it dawned on me, I raise this because the idea that it gets so common. I have said this so often to people, and I have performed so many baptisms, and I do know what it all does. But for it really to impact me, for it really to make me understand, an incident like that happened. And I found myself surprised in saying, yes, this kid most certainly is a saint. This child, that child, Thomas David, is to be baptized. He is to be baptized into the body of Christ. And the consequences of baptism are, in a sense, threefold. When we are baptized, we become participants in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And the priesthood of Christ, the priest who stands at the altar, the priesthood of the laity, all has to do with drawing the world that God created more closely into the realm of God's love and God's saving presence. Regardless of our station in life, it is our responsibility to be witnesses to this truth that God has loved us and God is drawing us to himself. And in that sacrificial act, the one single sacrificial act of Jesus Christ on the cross, by which we are redeemed through baptism, all of us come to participate. Not passively. We receive, certainly, but we also give. When we are baptized into Jesus' kingship. Now, when we talk about Christ being a king, it always carries with it the notion not of power, but of service, of saying yes to the Father that the world might be served. We baptized persons are obligated to pray and to enter into the mystery of Jesus' dying and rising. The Mass is essential for us, not because there is a commandment that says you got to go to Mass, but it is essential for us because we cannot breathe in and breathe out and breathe in again as baptized persons without participating in Christ dying and rising, which is sacramentally present here. Nor can we be comfortable if we are not at service to the world around us. We cannot breathe in or breathe out with any level of comfort if we do not, reflecting on the power of our baptism, put ourselves at the service of the world into which God has put us. The third thing that baptism does is it makes us prophets. We share in Christ's mission of speaking to the world in the Father's name, not because I'm smarter than, more insightful than, holier than, or any other than the people out there, but because by baptism we are called to be witnesses to Christ. This Son of the Father who is beloved and in whom the Father is well pleased. Christ is, by his nature, priest, prophet, king. The church is, by its nature, priestly, prophetic, and royal, or servant-oriented. And you and I, each with our own choices in life that we make, must understand that the platform on which all those choices are set is that by our baptisms, we are priests, we are prophets, and we are kings, not on our own, but in union with Christ, struggling to know the mind and the heart of Christ and becoming conformed to it. The Second Vatican Council tells us that all of us are called to holiness. And I might be scandalized by this, that, or the other thing in the church. But whether I am scandalized or not, I still am by my baptism. What you choose to do with your life does not diminish my baptism. The choices you make in your life do not X out my baptism. I am called by the power of God in the sacrament of baptism to be priestly, prophetic, and servant. And regardless of what goes on around me, that responsibility and that insight never goes away and is never diminished. That's why parents in the baptismal rite are said to be the first and best teachers of their children in the ways of faith. We need to reflect upon, not simply be witnesses to, Thomas David's baptism. What does that do to my own sense of my baptism? How do I not become changed? Because I am changed. Baptism changes me. The power of that emergency baptism put that child in relationship with God in such a way that until Thomas David chooses to act against the kingdom, is absolutely, totally, intimately united with Christ. If we fail, we are called to come back to that holiness. We are called to holiness, and that's what we celebrate today in this baptism. In the opening prayer, we said, Almighty, ever-living God, who when Christ had been baptized in the River Jordan as the Holy Spirit descended upon him, solemnly declared him your beloved Son. Grant that your children, you and me, grant that your children by adoption, reborn of water and the Holy Spirit, may always be well pleasing to you through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you forever and ever. Amen.